It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. When a tractor stops running in the middle of a farm field, it's the manufacturer who has the necessary parts and tools to make the critical repairs.
Now, Democratic state lawmakers have introduced a right to repair bill that would require farm equipment manufacturers to make repair documents, parts, and tools available for farmers to fix equipment they've already purchased.
This comes as State Attorney General Josh Call joined a lawsuit filed by the Federal Trade Commission against the manufacturer of John Deere equipment that alleges monopoly power over the repair market.
We're checking in on the federal suit, the new bill in Wisconsin, and the broader right to repair movement, starting with Democratic State Senator Sarah Kieske of Lodi, co-author of this legislation. Kieske represents a district that covers parts of several counties directly north and west of Madison. State Senator Kieske, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, lay out for us, what does your right to repair bill propose to do?
Well, this right to repair bill is kind of common sense, really. It says we're offering the opportunity for farmers to repair their own equipment or to have independent repair shops be able to do that. In being able to do that means having access to the tools and the supplies needed for repairs. Right now, there's a monopoly of that access with authorized dealers. And so that increases cost. This is an opportunity to say, hey, people that own their own equipment get to decide about repairing it or choosing somebody to repair it. And then the access to those tools needs to be made available at a fair price.
How has farm equipment become more complex to make these repairs and making this a more pressing issue for this legislation?
Well, as you can imagine, over time, things that we all use are more computerized. And so that is the case with really expensive farm equipment also. So one of the things that's needed is access to the tools to be able to diagnose what's wrong. And that's where there's limitation to who is allowed to have access to that. And oftentimes it is the places where you purchase the equipment that have the access to it rather than others having the access to it to be able to determine what needs to be fixed, how it needs to be fixed. And so we're asking that that is made available to others so that we have a broader expanse of people that can do the repairs, because it helps to decrease repair costs. It helps to limit equipment downtime. And it helps to open up competition for independent repair shops, which might give the opportunity to create jobs in our local economies.
But then, State Senator, on the flip side of this, farm equipment manufacturers, they want to protect their intellectual property. They want to protect their trade secrets for the advanced machinery that has taken years to come online as producing it. How do you alleviate those concerns from these companies?
Well, again, it's asking that they make things like the documentation, the data, the parts, the necessary tools available at a fair cost. But the terms also require that there's no surrendering of trade secrets, and that would harm the manufacturer's legitimate intellectual property rights. So we're not asking that that is accessible to all. We're still maintaining privacy on that piece, but access to what needs to be had so that repairs can be made.
What is the roadmap for this legislation? What kind of bipartisan support do you see it having?
Well, not sure yet. We're hopeful because we see this as something that really benefits our local farmers, right? And it benefits our local communities because it might offer an opportunity for some increased jobs. And we're all concerned about rising prices, and we know farmers are struggling with rising costs. So hopefully everybody can see the importance of passing this legislation right now, or we just put it out, Senator Brad Paff and I, and we're just looking for bipartisan support and hopeful to have it.
And really quickly here, what are the consequences if this doesn't make it through the legislature? What happens for farmers if the status quo remains?
Well, the status quo is prices are so high that it's hurting their bottom dollar, and we already know that farmers are just scraping by oftentimes. And so, and now we hear about new tariffs coming along. They're just squeezed, right? They also have to concern themselves with the changes of our climate. And so we need to do everything we can to help our farmers make options for their better bottom line. We also know that this impacts downtime, because when does equipment break down? It's usually during planting
during
season,
harvest,
right?
Or harvest, planting.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly. And so when that happens, and we have to have dealerships come to the place to get to the equipment, that is impacting downtime impacting the time that can be used for farming. And so that's another piece that is going to continue to inhibit what they can do.
State Senator Kieske, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me today.
That was State Senator Sarah Kieske of Lodi to share the new Right to Repair legislation she's co-authored. Now we turn to the broader Right to Repair movement and a federal suit that Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call signed on to against the manufacturer of John Deere equipment. Nathan Proctor is Senior Right to Repair Campaign Director for U.S. Public Interest Research Group. Nathan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, how does Wisconsin's proposed legislation compare to what you see around in other states with their right to repair bills?
Yeah, it's basically similar to what is being introduced in many other states and what was passed in Colorado. I thought the sponsor did a really good job explaining exactly what the point of it is. Just John Deere and Case and the other equipment manufacturers make a full suite of materials intended to facilitate the repair of those devices and equipment, and they distribute them to the dealerships, but that's it. Nobody else can get the same level of access that the dealerships get, and that creates an uneven playing field where they're the only ones that can do certain repairs. And the bill would solve that by requiring the same materials that go to the dealer be available to third parties.
Nathan, this has been called a movement. It's been years in the making. Why haven't state governments been more receptive to passing these right to repair laws?
Well, I mean, we've passed a number of laws, 7 laws in 5 states in the last 3.5 years, which I certainly don't think is, anything to sneeze at. Mm-hmm. I would say that there's so much financial interest from the companies that make products to control the service aftermarket for those products. It's incredibly profitable. And so they're fighting us really hard. And to me, it really boils down to that the revenue associated with the repairs.
Okay, but couldn't a manufacturer step in and say, look, we're going to be open source here. We're going to be make our equipment open to repairs, get a leg up over competitors that make repairs more difficult. Why can't that happen?
I mean, in other technology markets, it's much more competitive, and that is much more the case. Mm-hmm. The problem with farm equipment is you kind of need the dealership infrastructure to support some of these things, right? I mean, I've definitely had farmers say that what equipment you should buy doesn't matter the color of the equipment. It's like whichever dealer you trust and is close to you, because you are going to need some assistance from that operation. And so to be able to replicate the thousands of locations of dealerships that the major manufacturers have is very difficult. So they have a huge kind of barrier to entry for other equipment manufacturers, and it's highly consolidated industry. There's very little choice for the kind of equipment that Deere and Case make, you know, at that size. I mean, for the smaller tractors, it's much, you know, if you can go to Kubota or get an alternative, it's much more competitive and easier to fix. But as soon as competition starts to disappear, that's when manufacturers get more aggressive.
All right. Turning to the Federal Trade Commission and the federal lawsuit here against John Deere that Wisconsin has now signed on to, what is the FTC alleging?
Well, the FTC basically thinks that the conduct that we've been outlining is illegal under existing antitrust pro-competition laws in this country, particularly Section 2 of the Sherman Act and the FTC Act. Their basic argument is that by selling somebody something and then having this software in the device that makes it so you have to go back to the dealership for certain repairs, that's what they call a tying violation. You're not supposed to be able to tether somebody to future purchases from their first, based on the first sale. And they've alleged that basically this is what John Deere is doing. They're unfairly forcing farmers to go back to the dealers by the basically how they programmed the equipment to operate. And that's a in their view, a violation of laws that protect the consumer and are supposed to foster competition.
Could the results of this suit specific to John Deere equipment, do you see it as potentially precedent setting and force other big ag equipment makers to follow suit or risk a legal case?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because this used to be the precedent, right? Mm. It's, I think, precedent revival, perhaps.
Okay.
You know, when the Department of Justice weighed in, the Department of Justice also weighed in to support a class action lawsuit from farmers alleging essentially the same thing as the FTC has done. And when the DOJ weighed in on that case, they said, yeah, I think that the relevant precedence of this was a case against Xerox. Mm. For the, you know, for capturing and trying to capture the aftermarket for large printers, both the repair and the kind of, you know, the ink or whatever you would be putting into the product. And they view that as a violation of the law. And it's very, very similar conduct to what not only Deere does, but many other manufacturers do, especially when you talk about equipment that's very large and very expensive, hmm. where the service contracts are a huge part of the revenue. So I think this could actually, extend out beyond just other farm equipment manufacturers. I think
into
there's
other
a lot
industries.
Of other manufacturers.
Yeah. Nathan,
that have these. Yeah, sorry.
Nathan, thank you so much for this overview. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. It's wonderful to be here.
Nathan Proctor, Senior Right to Repair Campaign Director for U.S. Public Interest Research Group. Earlier, we talked with Democratic State Senator Sarah Kieski of Lodi.
Up next, a Wisconsin man died after his inhaler cost went way up, raising concerns about consumer protection and health coverage.
The consumer is twisting in the wind oftentimes, trying to figure this stuff out. You need someone that has accurate and timely information to inform the consumer so they can get the services that they need and deserve.
That's next on WPR News.